Welcome to another episode of The Shift with Elaine Agard. In this episode, I speak with Alyssa Dare Nelson. She's the founder and CEO of Dare to Succeed. She has spent the first part of her career in healthcare and then really moving towards working with corporates and organizations really globally to help their teams thrive, starting with the individual. We really spend time speaking around the topic of strengths in individuals, so really identifying what is it that you bring to the table, what is your unique selling point, and how does that add to the overall team? And then together, how do you then add to the organizational growth, business objectives, and so on. So we're really focused on how we can be the best that we can be for ourselves. And what's interesting is that through these discoveries of, you know, understanding our strengths, it not only benefits you in the workplace, but also in personal life as well. So we spent some time talking about that. And I think if you're just looking at how you can be better, whether you are part of a team or an individual contributor, or just a leader in an organization, this episode is for you. Alyssa, welcome to the podcast.
Well, hello. It's so great to be here, Lena.
You know, we met at the Podcast Movement event, which is it was my first time. And I didn't know what to expect, honestly. But what I didn't expect is to meet people. Like, I was always expecting to meet like these podcasters or like media people, but I never expected to meet people that are doing stuff around leadership and trainings and kind of living the world that I live in and in the corporate and just kind of these sort of things. And so I was pleasantly surprised when we were introduced and we just, you know, we could have talked for hours around the awesome things that you're doing around leadership and really kind of attacking it from different levels around, you know, from the bottom up, right? It's not only about the top bottom approach. There's really a lot of different areas. So I'm really excited to get into all of that with you in this conversation. But give me a little snapshot around kind of how you got started, why leadership, why these sort of, you know, trainings, like what is it that attracted you to this field to begin with?
Yeah, well, first I must give a shout out to Dan and Jared and Podcast Movement for what an incredible community and conference that they have built over the last 10 years, 11 years, 10 or 11 years anyway, because Podcast Movement is what we share is the platform. Mm-hmm. We don't share an industry or whatever. So you walk into this conference and you see everyone from every walk of mm-hmm. life, and podcasters are some of the most amazing humans I know mm-hmm. because they're willing to put their voice out there and to use their voice in whatever they're passionate about. And so you just see people walking around with passions in all these different areas. So it is a very life-giving conference. So if you're listening and you're thinking about starting a podcast, or maybe you're not even thinking about starting a podcast and you want to be surrounded by a bunch of humans that are amazing, go to Podcast Movement. So there's my very you know, it's not like anybody's paying me for that. I just love it so much. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay. So what got me here? Why my interest in leadership? I think, you know, it started with my interest in self-leadership, you know, my journey into what I'm doing now really started when I was right about 30, and realizing not at age 30, you know, like many people do, like, oh, I'm turning 30. Like, what is my life about? It was like 31. And all of a sudden I find myself going through a divorce. And that was not something I ever considered that I would ever do. Mm-hmm. And starting in a new career, I was a dietitian then. I was just starting my nursing career at that time. And I realized I need to find out what life I was actually living, because I wasn't sure it was my own, or if it was my own, it was like this thing that I had set up in my head as to what the ideal was, not what my ideal was. Mm-hmm. And so I really had to do a lot of work to figure out where I was in life, what I was doing, what kind of example I was to my two tiny little daughters that were 2 and 3 at the time. And so I started diving into therapy first, thank goodness for therapy, and then personal development. And I ended up getting in touch with a direct sales company. I'm not going to talk much about that. The business model was not fabulous. Took me several years to figure that out. But what it gave me was a foray into the idea of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And What I very quickly learned there was that your level of success will never exceed your level of personal development as a leader, whether your business is one or whether your business is 10,000. And so as I was gaining coaching and training to learn how to do the business stuff and the mindset stuff, I hired my own coaches and, you know, did my own, or not my own, but like, you know, entered into, enrolled in group coaching programs and all of these things. And I was like, this is amazing. It was life-giving. It was encouraging. And I realized that was really what I was put on this planet to do. So as I launched into starting my business, I was working with a coach and he's like, okay, so go out, get started, do it. And I was like, well, I don't have a name for the business yet. And he's like, well, you know, and he let me go through an entire session where I was just struggling with this. And he's like, oh, do you need me to tell you? I'm like, yeah, put your consulting hat on, please. And tell me what I need to call this business. And he said, Alyssa, it's you. It's you. It's your name. And I was like, Nelson Coaching? Like, that is the most Minnesotan coaching name I have ever heard. And I said in the same breath that I said, but dang it, you know, I might've cursed actually, but said, this is what I was put on this planet to do. There's nothing I'm more certain of. And it dawned on me that who I was when I was put on this planet was Alyssa Dare. And the interesting thing is that when I got remarried, I took back my maiden name as my legal middle name. And so, you know, I was like, I am Alyssa Dare Nelson. And so, you know, Dare Success Coaching, then we do more than coaching now. So it's Dare to Succeed now, is what the business ended up getting named. And it was because, you know, this is what I was put on this planet to do. So if it's going to be my name, it's going to be the name I was put on this planet with. So that's how the business launched back in 2014.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And it's been through every kind of iteration in the last 9 years that you can imagine. Lots of trials and tribulations, lots of ups, even probably more downs than ups, right? Running your own business with your own brand and creating your own brand is hard work. Working through, you know, money mindset issues and self-worth issues and all of that when it comes to selling your own services and such. I had to look at those things straight in the face. And so it's put me in this really beautiful position where not only can I empathize with the people I work with, right? But I can show them that there is another side to that. And so, you know, it's really our passion, not just to support the people on top who have already kind of made it, it's to support people all the way through the organization. And it's one of the most beautiful gifts that we get to bring to the leaders that we work with is how do you support all of your direct reports to their next best level and encouraging them to think about asking and building into a brand new position. Fabulous. What's your next position going to be? Right. Helping them sort of think about, you know, the kind of the goal beyond the goal, but helping them to set their sights. And even if they're like, this is it, like, this is my dream job. I want to be right here. Awesome. Inside of this role, how do you want to grow it? It really is, a fun and abundant way for us to be able to support businesses, not only to their next level, but to each individual's next level, whatever that means for them. It's really powerful and valuable work that we get to do on a day-to-day basis.
You know, what's one of my favorite aspects of podcasting is that although you and I have spoken at the conference and then after, I've learned so much about you just now. And I just realized how much more in common that we have. So I want to spend a little bit of time about the journey. I think you mentioned an interesting point about creating your brand. And my audience are either entrepreneurs or people that are just kind of really interested in that. And I think it's really important to cover it. I actually did a personal brand session this morning because it's a question my audience brings up quite a bit. And then I do want to talk about leadership. But what's interesting is that I was divorced when I was 30. And I was also, that is when my journey, I mean, my journey started maybe a little bit earlier, but I didn't really start proactively and like intentionally going through all that self-development until my divorce. So for me, it was also like a very life-changing kind of like, uh-oh moment. So that's pretty interesting. And it's interesting that you also said that you were naturally, I mean, initially you were into nursing, and I'm thinking like it was such a natural transition for you from, because it's a healthcare, it's a caring field. So now you just care about the human in the corporation, right? Yes. And it's all about uplifting. And I love that. It's, I think it's just a natural thing. And I always wonder people that end up in our field is like, you have to have some level of that empathy and that self-awareness. And usually a lot of people come out because of their own journeys. And then you're like, more people need to know about this. And then you go into that teaching mode almost, right? So I find that very, very fascinating. But talk to me a little bit about, you know, you started your business in 2014, and speak a little bit about the challenges and maybe also eventually the rewards of building a personal brand, because I think that's one entrepreneurs get quite wrong sometimes. Wrong, but I think it's one of the biggest challenges. I think there's a difference when you're working for a big brand as a company and then building your own brand and on top of that under your name. So talk to me a little bit, like how was that experience for you?
It was important to me to build my own brand, in part because of this direct sales kind of realm that I came from. Like, I couldn't really make it mine, even though I could kind of make it mine. I kind of thought of it like almost like a franchise, you know, is how I thought about it when I was in it. And I think there's value to that because you get to sort of follow somebody else's plan. But there was a lot of things in there that just did not align with my integrity, right? And so when you're misaligned, boy, is that tough, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're all about, well, get out of your comfort zone. And I'm all about get out of your comfort zone too. But I would say one of the earliest lessons I learned was what is out of my comfort zone and what is out of integrity. Mm-hmm. And once I was able to sort that, a lot of stuff got a lot easier. And so I knew, like, there was nothing out there that I knew of that was like what I wanted to do. And so it made sense just to build my own thing. And I really thought I could just kind of like turn the website on and like go network a little bit and do this thing. Obviously it's a lot harder than that. And so I had to find out like what is that the core of me? So it is kind of pulling out that, what are my core values and thus the core values of the business. And then as a part of that process, being able to pull yourself back and say, I am the face of my business. I am not my business. Mm-hmm. So in large corporations, it's easy to get lost and like forget who you are, right? Because mm-hmm. you're at the job, you're doing the role and that kind of thing. In this, when you're building your own brand, you don't forget who you are, but you in business, you forget who you are outside of business. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pothole that a lot of folks fall into. Mm. And so, you know, workaholism and just putting in all the hours and putting in all the hours and putting in all the hours and forgetting that self-care, the rest. You know, I know that I had a piece of that at one point. This was really, really helpful for me. I was at a big struggle point in my business. I was back in 2018, and I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this on my own. I'm an extrovert. I have high woo. You can't see my mug, but my mug has my strengths on it. Futuristic woo, positivity, activator, strategic. I need to be with people. Mm-hmm. And so being a sole entrepreneur was crushing to me, like just draining to me at all times. And so I thought, well, I met this other coach who had a similar line of business, and he kind of invited me to work for him. And so that meant I gave up, you know, I was going to give up my brand and work under his brand. And I was like, okay, if I'm not willing to do this, how much of my ego is in my brand and not in the work? Mm-hmm. And so it was a really important question for me to ask. Am I doing this business because it's got my name attached to it? and because it's my baby? Or am I doing this business the way I'm doing it because it's the right way to do it from my lens, from my perspective? So I worked with him for about 6 weeks, and there were some integrity issues, and I was like, I can't get behind this. And I walked away. And I went back more determined than ever to build this business outside of the human I am. So still the face of the business, but like I'd started that process of detaching myself from the business. And that's when I began to be able to rest at night, and to come back to work in the morning refreshed and ready to work.
What are some things that you've done there to really separate? Because I think that's a very interesting point. I struggle with it. I'm sure many people do. But what are some of the habits, I guess, you've created to be like, okay, I need to separate that?
So, you know, one of the things, I mean, I knew I needed to separate it because I was just so emotional about it. And so every no felt like a personal no. Every yes felt like, oh, they really like me, you know, which of course quickly reframe and like, nope, this is about them. Can I serve them, et cetera. But there's that moment of like, oh, yay, approval. And so that was kind of, those were all triggers to me that I needed to not put my self-worth or my value in whether someone hired me or not. And so, you know, and that just, I mean, I worked with a coach all the way throughout that whole process. And so that was really helpful as well. But I started to kind of start these affirmations, like, you have done enough today. It is enough. And I got an office in a private office in a co-working space in 2019. And so I could get out of the house. That was also helpful for me. And then, as we know, a year later, COVID hit, and there I was back at home again. And now I have an office, with a dear friend of mine who now we've got more energy. I was able to hire 2 full-time employees, which is another big holy moly, you know, like next level of business stuff, right? That you have to deal with. And so like, there's this, our office is just full of energy. Right. And so I prefer to be here, which also means when I leave here, I leave it here. And so I'm all for hybrid working and working from home. And I think each person has to know what is it for them that allows them to shut off. When I was working from home, I would leave the office. And actually, here's an interesting thing. So one of the things that I used to do was I would crack a beer when I was done with work, because I'm not going to like write emails when I'm buzzed, right? Or when I've had, when I've had a drink or whatever. And so that was like a tip in my brain that I was done with my workday. And then I was like, I don't know that alcohol is really the right choice for that. You know, I've since completely stopped drinking because it makes me foggy and many, many other reasons. So join the non-drinking, you know, movement, y'all. It's great and you feel better. So I stopped that like message, which is like, I need a beer. If I have a glass of wine or a beer in my hand, then I'm done working. And then I would start like closing my office door, because my office door is right on the way towards my bedroom. And I would like, I would find myself walking down the hall and I'd be like, I'd go into the office and my husband's like, what are you doing? Why are you in the office? I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm in here, right? So I would close the office door. So, you know, just little tiny things, and everyone kind of figures out what works for them. But for me, it had to be very small. I'm a big fan of tiny habits, very small and very, and routine, you know, to let give my body the signal, my heart the signal, my mind the signal that it is okay to rest. And there was lots of affirmations in that too, because as a business owner, and if you're the only one doing it, right, you don't feel like you have that permission. And so you have to really be intentional about giving permission to say, I need to go rest and go have fun.
So I like those little, the close the door, because I mean, I work from home for a few years now, and it's hard to disconnect. And it's like, every time if you just peek and you like see your laptop, you're like, should I just send this email? Like, you know, and it's very bad. It's, yeah, it's, I think a lot of people struggle with that. And even in corporates, mm-hmm. like even not as into, but just working from home has just, I think, shifted the way we do things. But so talk to me a little bit more about how do you work with organizations? I'm really curious because some of the things we talked about is you start off with an assessment, which I think is a brilliant way mm-hmm. to start a conversation and really kind of guide that individual. But let's dive a little bit deeper of the kind of work that you do and what the problems you're solving.
You know, we work on the human side of business. Mm-hmm. So it's often considered soft. It's mm-hmm. often considered like nice to have, which is ironic because your humans in your business are your greatest asset. Mm-hmm. And yet they'll, you know, companies will, you know, funnel millions of dollars into their software, into their office spaces, into all of these things, and then hesitate when they're presented with a proposal for $35,000 to build their team, right? It's kind of interesting. So I'm a big fan from my healthcare background of evidence-based practice. So we use two really well-researched tools. One is the Clifton Strengths, which many people are familiar with. 31 or 30 million people have taken this profile worldwide in the last 23 years. It's a great profile, and it's reliable, repeatable, and 40 years of research prior to it. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So that helps us to start building the strengths base. What's right with me? Before we talk about what's wrong. So that is in and of itself a complete mindset shift for a lot mm-hmm. of people. And then the other tool that we use is something called PERMA, which is a 6-letter acronym, P-E-R-M-A-H. And those 6 letters are the 6 elements of well-being as evidenced by research. So why well-being? Because it sounds fluffy and soft and like, oh, that's kind of cute and nice to have. Like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it kind of little sounds a little kumbaya, you know, mm-hmm. Kind of thing. But these are, by research, the leading indicators to all the things that companies want. Mm-hmm. High mm-hmm. profits, you know, high productivity, low turnover, high retention, attracting new talent. And so they are the right things to invest in because they're the things that lead to the success. And so we're really excited. This is new for us to be able to bring to the market. It's not new to market. It's new in the last few years here, but the research is not new. And the reason it took this long to come to market is to get that research, right? Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to be able to bring this sort of X-ray to companies, like have your people take the survey and then like let's talk out the results. Mm-hmm. One of our core values at Dare to Succeed is gathering the collective wisdom. And the wisdom is all throughout your organization. So don't you dare put me in a room just with your top 7 leaders. Put representations from every level of your business into that room for us to talk, because mm-hmm. every level of the business has wisdom to share if you're willing to listen to it. You know, and so it does require some humility from leadership, some awareness from leadership, but the results are magnificent. Mm. So we get to combine this PERMA survey along with appreciative inquiry style facilitation and other strengths-based means like Strengths Finder, Clifton Strengths, to help really transition from what's wrong with us and why is our turnover this and this and that to like, okay, well, what do we want? Yeah. Like, companies forget they can actually start from what do we want? Mm-hmm. And let's build from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of companies are just more reactive than proactive. And mm-hmm. the work that you do is more like, okay, how do we become more proactive? And I would imagine that when you are putting all these kind of representation from different levels, I would imagine with some companies, and that's an indicator by itself what kind of company it is, but if some companies are against that because either the kind of the junior or the mid people don't feel comfortable speaking up in front of the senior leadership or vice versa, right? Versus having that kind of transparency, which is so very much needed in today's organizations in general. So I'm curious, like from your experience, has that been a challenge with some organizations you work with, or are they all pretty much like once they're in it, they're like, okay, we're in it?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. The people who are really interested, until we say, and this is for the entire organization, right? And unfortunately, we do still have a very deeply ingrained culture, capitalistic culture of the people on top are who matter. The people on bottom, are they really worth the investment? And you know, it's no one wants to admit that out loud. And I don't call people out on it. I don't call people to the floor on it. It's, you know, we just work with them and get, all right, fine, let's start here. And as we continue to work, you're going to see that there's value in having more and more people at the table. So, you know, we do meet people where they're at and companies where they're at. And then just continue to build from there. Yeah. But boy, when you see it go top to bottom, bottom to top, and you see that respect for all levels of the business, you see the psychological safety grow and the trust grow, then the transparency begins to be even more, right? Because transparency is vulnerable. And, you know, I know a lot of leaders feel like they, if they say one little thing, that they get attacked for it. And that is true. And so it is vulnerable, and they're answering to stakeholders, they're answering to, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there's, it's not that the top business leaders don't have pressures and stressors and reasons to be protected themselves and walled up themselves, but that's what bold and courageous leadership is all about.
Yeah. I love that model because one of as you're speaking, I'm like, the biggest challenges organizations have today, several, but if it's related to what we're talking about, is that I want to say a lack of awareness on different levels about what the other level is dealing with, what the life, you know, day in a life, so to say, of that individual. And I think you hear this quite a bit, you know, from junior staff, you know, you're like, they don't understand the decisions that are being made up top, and vice versa. It's like, well, they're not, you know, leadership thing, people are not productive, you know, et cetera, but not understanding what the business is like at that level. And also for the juniors, not to understanding that business is much more complicated than just, you know, than what they might imagine. So I think just education in general about the different, the different levels of work and the different levels of responsibility, obviously to an extent, they don't need, there's certain information.
We don't have to shadow every single person in every single role of the business, right?
But just to have that education, because young people coming in don't have that business education. So it's also, I can see how that can, by creating that psychological safety, also it's like a mentorship as well, like a vice versa, like a reverse mentorship even in some cases.
Yeah. And it opens up the opportunity to say, I don't know what you do. Could you share that with me? Right. But if the culture is such that you're made to feel stupid for asking questions, or, you know, there's a value on resourcefulness, i.e. don't ask anyone, go figure it out. You've got Google and the intranet, you know, the company intranet for a purpose. While I believe that there is some of that, there's also value in like, help me understand. And so part of our process is replacing judgment with curiosity. And we get to teach that in everything, in all of our programs, right? Is when you feel, you know, judgment on another person or even on yourself, that's the moment that you can go, wait, what am I missing? What else might be going on here? Right. I do a lot of making up stories in my own mind, not because I want to live in some like utopia or something like that, but just because you don't know what's going on in someone else's world. And, the moment that you start to learn like a little bit more about the other person who's with you, who's you're working with, who's maybe really short in emails or really, you know, doesn't have behavior that you think is very friendly, et cetera, go find out about that person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and see what else you can learn, because it's really hard to hate somebody up close.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of the coaching profession, is that you get to hear so many stories from people about the things that they're dealing with. So by the time you just after several conversations, mm-hmm. you just realize that, like, so people are dealing with so much that you would never expect.
Yeah.
Like, I always tell people, like, you know, when I'm in conversations with people that are in high positions, people that are wealthy, people that are successful on paper, and they're dealing with all the same things and struggles and insecurities and imposter syndrome and all these different challenges, well-being, all of that, that every single other person that deals with.
Yeah.
So it's, and that's that. I mean, I think I'm thankful to coaching for that, because that makes you
mm-hmm.
more empathetic. That makes you not take things personally and ask, like, what
Yeah.
else can it be? And I
Yeah.
think putting people at different levels in the room, as what you guys are doing, is opening up that conversation just in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. And, you know, one of my new staff members is bringing DEIB training to our organization, which we're really excited about.
I'm sorry, DIB. What's the B?
Mm-hmm. What is
Okay.
the B?
Oh,
I'm
you're
so
gonna.
glad you asked. I'm so glad
I don't
you
want to
asked.
assume.
No, it's the thing that I think businesses are missing. DEI, right? Diversity, equity, inclusion, like check, 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 check.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we've done the training, and we've done, you know, implicit bias training, and we've done, you know, the things, you know, in HR, where we definitely, you know, interviewed X amount of people who are minorities and who are people of color and who are, you know, this or this or that, like, right. They're checking all the boxes. But if that person shows up to your work and doesn't feel like they belong there, they're not going to stay. They're not going to stay. And part of belonging, everybody gets this piece, right?
Yeah.
So you don't know what people are dealing with at home. They might have a mom, right, who moved in with them. Meanwhile, they've got three kids who are school age, and they're working from home. And oh, and by the way, that mother that moved in with them because she has early onset Alzheimer's, right? So, like, they might have resources to have people support and whatever, but that person is keeping that compartmentalized, and it is affecting their work. Like, they are showing up to work with it. They're just not telling you. They're
Yeah.
masking that piece, right? And to be able to show up in the room and say, gosh, mom had a really tough night last night. She got up and, you know, started, you know, we caught her as she was walking outside. Like, I mean, like, these are real stories, right? And so I didn't get any sleep last night. So I just need a little grace today, guys.
Yeah.
Right? To be able to say that and share that, your whole personhood at work, now the team can come around you. And it doesn't mean you don't get the work done. It means that you have a moment of empathy with your team. So what else do you need today?
Mm-hmm.
How can we support you? And then that's reciprocated back. And so, and it's all to people's comfort, right? You may not want to necessarily share that at work, and that's okay, but
right.
can you? Can you share that at work? And so this belonging thing comes from, you know, from masking on things like, you know, what all you've got going on at home, all the way to code switching. Right. Which a lot of people of color, and specifically our Black friends, are having to do,
yeah,
is they have to bring up their whitest,
selves,
you know, their
yeah.
whitest selves to work, to feel as though they can fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are fitting in versus showing up and belonging,
mm-hmm.
like, we know that their
yeah.
best is not coming with them. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, part of this psychological safety is this belonging piece. And so, you know, it's not enough to do DEI training. You must be, whether you hire us, y'all, or whether you hire somebody else, DEIB training, you have to incorporate the belonging piece in order to actually retain the amazing diverse talent that you have worked so hard to hire.
And it almost ties in, like, I'm just thinking, like, when you talk about well-being, that piece almost ties in, that belonging piece ties in with the emotional well-being and the social
Yes.
well-being of somebody. Right. Sure does. And it's and that's everything. And I think that's what we forget. Like, we think that these soft skills or well-being is all like fuzzy, but reality is like that mm-hmm. is what either makes you productive or not productive. The emotional piece. It's not about whether your office offers a gym membership. It's not about right. which I'm in full support of, but I love right. sports. But like,
also great remember, and
also great, but you know, also and yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just about like, you know, having that, but it's also around those things. So it's like, otherwise you're just putting band-aids. And I always say like the person can be in the best shape of life and be super, you know, physically fit and all of that stuff and healthy and yada, yada, yada. But if they're showing up and their emotional well-being is not there, it's yes. all tied together. It's all connected. The emotional, the physical, the psychological, mm-hmm. all of that is just tied together. And I think, you know, that's what companies need to understand. Like, and it's always like, you know, what I've learned the hard way is like, it's always like, well, how's it going to make our people more productive, or what's the bottom line, or tell mm-hmm. me in numbers what it's going mm-hmm. to do. And it's like, it's some of it is quantitative, yes, but a lot of it is qualitative. And if you don't see it as a leader,
yeah,
I mean,
well, and this is part of what we do is we present that data, because mm-hmm, the data yeah. is there. The data mm-hmm. is there. And I mean, pages of data, if you want it, like, here you go. This study, this study, this study, this study, this study. And so these six aspects, right? These six nutrients of well-being, you know, positive emotion being one, engagement. Yes, that's a piece of it. The R is relationships. M is meaning. A is accomplishment, right? You have to feel like you're getting something done, like you're yeah. doing something. And then the silent H, the H is health, right? Mm-hmm. And all six of these things matter yeah. and they do all incorporate. And so people are like, oh, I'm just doing so much. I'm doing more. And that's actually the first response that I get from most leaders is like, oh, another thing.
Yeah.
And I get it. They're like, we already do an engagement survey and we do the IDI and we do, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're already doing so much and we give things to the staff. And I was chatting with a woman who is bringing us in, thankfully. she's like, well, we even give Valentine's gifts. And I was like, oh, that's a really cool idea. Does your staff appreciate that?
Yeah. Is that what they want? Like, did you ask them?
Right. And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So here they're spending thousands mm-hmm. of dollars on, and it was a small business, 100 staff, right? 100 employees, thousands of dollars on a Valentine's gift. They're feeling underappreciated because no one even said thank you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, maybe that's something you should stop, mm-hmm. you know? And so part of our survey is asking, what are the things that are most valuable to you? What do you mm-hmm. appreciate the most? Again, starting with that strengths-based, let's do more of what they already appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
But then the things that aren't showing up on that list, let's talk about stopping some things. Yeah. So this isn't just about engaging in more, giving more from leadership, et cetera. It's also about understanding what can you stop that you were feeling underappreciated for anyway,
mm-hmm.
and save your budget and give your employees something that will actually be life-giving, right?
Yeah.
So this is about fiscal responsibility too.
Mm-hmm. Well, is, and you know, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I was just going to say is what you can stop. And, you know, it's not just another survey. Mm-hmm. It's something that is going to be a tangible, usable tool. Cause the survey taker also gets a tool. They get a mm-hmm. report and a tool. How can you empower your own well-being? Beautiful. Right. And then again, we're engaging this further conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, everything is great about it and it's affordable and, you know, and I obviously, we believe in it wholeheartedly, which is why we're doing it. But, you know, it's really helping, leaders and employers understand that you don't have to do everything. You just have to engage people in what they want, listen, and everyone's going to be better off. You know, employers are afraid to ask that question because they're afraid people are just going to demand more money. Yeah. And you know what? If you're, you know, 7% or 10% under market, you probably do need to bump your wages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fine. Right. But if you're at market or mid-market, or, you know, that's not likely what your people are needing.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is that, so to your point, yeah, I think it's just like people, companies are doing a lot of things, but is it effective? So to your point, like, is it actually effective? Because the market for L&D, learning and development, is huge, like billions and billions every year, global corporations, et cetera. But it's like, are you actually investing in the right ways? And then also just, I also want to, because my audience really knows this, like, I think, and the reason I started this podcast as well is like, not just because there's a lot of talk about what companies should be doing. And I think that we need to distinguish, like, as an individual, you have your own responsibility and you need to take ownership of some of those things, right? But if you are the person who is a high performer in your own life and you don't have an organization that can support it, that high performer is going to leave, which is why organizations need to also provide that resource. But it all ultimately starts with the individual. And organizations just need to, like, recognize that, you know, like, it's just, you have to rethink how you do things, because you're going to lose high performers and people that are super productive and so on. And that's the biggest challenge as well with an organization's retention, right, of good talent. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, one of the things, if you get nothing else from this podcast, and I hope you've gotten a lot from this podcast as you're listening, but is to understand that people buy into that which they help create.
Yeah.
So engaging people at every level of the organization into what you're doing and what you're building in the organization, giving them voice, is so important, because they will buy in. And when they're bought in, right, we kind of chide people for sort of drinking the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't without critical thought, or, like, you know, we're not talking about, you know, we work kind of drink the Kool-Aid here. Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, if you believe in what the business is doing and you trust that the business is actually following through on their core values, mm-hmm. and that you can see yourself in the new programs and the new things, like, you're going to become an advocate for it. Mm-hmm. And, like, there ain't nothing better than, you know, a mid-level manager, right, being like, yeah, you should come work for this organization because they are amazing and they actually walk the walk. Mm-hmm. That right there is worth its weight in gold when it comes to recruiting.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Having been leading a recruitment team, I could not agree more. Mm-hmm. I wish that's like that. That's like the focus and everything that we do is like, how do we empower our people in a way that they want to tell their friends about how awesome it is to be in this organization? It's that's what they become, your best ambassadors and your best salespeople, essentially.
It's a really fun question to ask. What makes it, well, this is kind of a two-part question. What makes you most proud to work here? Mm-hmm. And if, you know, what would make you more proud to work here?
Those are powerful,
right? That feedback to those two questions will tell you a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, where do you hang out at? Where can people find you? And where can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can always come to Minnesota, y'all. I say y'all because in Minnesota, we historically say you guys, which I'm still working, because that's like a 44-year-old habit ingrained in me, to just change to you all or y'all, because it's more gender neutral. So anyway, for whatever that's worth. So come hang out with me in the Twin Cities if you would like to, if you're ever in town. Minneapolis and St. Paul is a great place because we do have all four seasons, except maybe not in the dead of winter. It's not so much fun here. Anyway, you can also find us at daretosucceed.com, and dare is spelled like my name, which is D-A-I-R-E, the number two, succeed.com, D-A-I-R-E, the number two, succeed.com. And yes, succeed is two C's and two E's. People spell it wrong all the time. It's so funny. But we do. Anyway, so daretosucceed.com. I'm also bringing back my podcast, one of my three podcasts called Maximize Your Strengths. And so I'm really excited about that. That's going to relaunch in October here. So you can catch me there. You can also listen to older episodes of Maximize Your Strengths on all the platforms as it stands right now. And then, of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram. All the handles are Dare to Succeed. We are technically on X as well, but I don't hang out there.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
Well, they keep changing so many things. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to hang out there soon.
I don't know what's happening. On,
yeah. I'm just waiting for it to play out. I'm going to make sure all of these are included in the show notes as well for those that are listening and maybe, you know, driving or doing something where they can write it down. Final question I have for you is, what is one question you wish people would ask themselves more often?
I thank you for giving me this question beforehand because I had to think about it for a long time. That question is, how can I love myself today? When we give ourselves that love, it fills our cup and it allows us to pour from a fuller cup. And it also allows us to love others, but we can't do that if we haven't already loved and given love to ourselves. So I know that sounds really gushy, but it is the question that I wish people would ask themselves more often.
That's beautiful. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for
having me.
Tips and different things that you've shared today. Appreciate you.